Hello and welcome to another episode of Father Mike at the Mic. I'm Tony Miller with KCDM and I'll be your host for the show. We are joined as usual by Father Mike Phillips, who is now officially a priest for 55 years.
Hello everybody, how are you?
When was your anniversary, Father Mike?
Anniversary of ordination was May 31st and first mass was June 1st. 1969.
Yeah. I was 8 years old.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. People have been so kind to me, and I want to thank everybody for your kind prayers and remembrances.
We are so so thankful and blessed that you took your vows 55 years ago.
Yeah, we're happy to do so. Lasted a long time.
And the work that you've done for the body of Christ is will be well rewarded, I'm sure.
Well, we hope so.
And also joining us again tonight is Mandy Brent.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you again. You heard about our topic tonight.
I didn't want Father Mike to be alone. So.
I appreciate that very much.
I like coming and talking with Father Mike.
Thank
Listening
you.
To Father Mike. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you.
Father Mike, why don't you get us started? We're going to jump a tradition again. Why don't you get us started with an opening prayer?
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us the grace to examine your word a little bit more tonight. Help us to understand it more fully and more completely. Give us the grace to follow your will in all things. We ask all of this through the Blessed Virgin Mary and her care for the church and for all of us through Christ Jesus, her Son, and your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Mike.
You're welcome.
So when I started up preparing for the show, I had absolutely nothing in news and notes. I mean, it was a blank page staring back at me. But now I've got all kinds of stuff. So through the last couple of days, a whole bunch of stuff has come in. I just wanted to let everybody know that we are working with a group of students at Notre Dame, and they have recorded a 9.5 or 10 minute kind of a end of the year summary of what they've been doing at Notre Dame. And we are going to try to make this a regular feature. We're not sure yet if it's going to be a quarterly thing or a midterms and end of the semesters or what we're going to do. But we're going to try to get the Notre Dame kids involved in the radio and have a report from Notre Dame on a regular basis. So we're looking forward to that. It'll probably run on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm trying to get it scheduled right now, and as soon as I know exactly what times it will be on the weekends, I will put that up on our website, and you'll be able to go there and then listen to the students' report. We're excited about being able to partner with Notre Dame and get the kids involved in this. You being a teacher,
that'd be great.
We're hoping to really we're hoping to get a group of kids to come in and do a show with Father Mike and get the teenager high schooler perspective of the faith. And I'm sure that will put Father Mike to the test.
I'm sure it will. Absolutely.
They'll learn a lot. They'll learn a lot.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is the two new priests in the diocese that were ordained last Saturday up at Sacred Heart Cathedral, Father Mike Snyder and Father Dane Dickinson. Father Mike Snyder, another Father Mike.
I know
that.
We're taking over.
You suppose he's destined for 55 years?
Oh, I hope he is. Maybe. I hope it's many more than that.
As I say, maybe more.
Yeah.
Father Mike Snyder will be going to Our Lady of Victory Parish in Davenport, and Father Dane will be going to Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Bettendorf. So that's where they're going to start out, and then who knows, they might wind up in Des Moines County.
They could.
That's quite possible. And then before we started recording tonight, Father Dominic stuck his head in. We have a new seminarian who just started on June 6th. He is Alex Tibachhorst, And he's going to be spending the summer with us, learning about parish life before he goes back to the seminary. And he's originally from Kelowna, Iowa.
Okay.
So if you see Alex around, welcome him and give him best wishes. And the other thing I thought about for news and notes, Father Mike, is we're starting Ordinary Time.
Right.
And Ordinary Time seems like it's a long time.
It is a long time.
It's like the next 6 months, I think, as I counted it up. And Ordinary Time will actually end on the Feast of Christ the King on November 24th. Mm-hmm. And Ordinary Time is anything but ordinary, isn't it?
That's right. It's a time of a year of grace. We're going to be talking about God's perseverance for us tonight. And Ordinary Time is the atmosphere within God's grace, God's perseverance in his grace for us. So it's the field within God operating for us.
So are there any holy days or anything nestled into that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. In the summertime, we have the Feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother on August 15th. And then later on in the fall, December the 8th, we have the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Those are the two Marian feasts that our first-class feast, holy days as such. And then, like we celebrate every day, there's some kind of feast, it seems like, for different saints in the calendar.
Mm-hmm. I was looking through, I don't remember, it was August 24th, I think, is the Feast of St. Jerome, which is my middle name.
So, oh, is it really? Okay.
He's my patron saint. I thought it was kind of interesting that I went into journalism and St. Jerome was actually instrumental in translating the Bible and putting the Bible
in
its correct form.
He sure was. He had a little temper, too. I don't know if you inherited that.
That might be partly where I get it, too. That's quite possible, Father Matt. Ordinary time is a long run, but going to Mass is never ordinary.
No, it shouldn't be. It should be an exciting experience.
All right. Well, let's dive into our topic tonight. We're going to be talking about God's providence and divine mercy. So let's talk a little bit about what God's providence is to start off.
Okay.
Is there can you give us a definition of God's providence? Or from what I understand, and I have to be honest, when I started looking into this, I realized how much I don't know about God's providence. Mm-hmm. And from what I was able to gather is that God's providence is his taking care of the beings and his creations, providing for his beings and his creations. Is that an accurate description?
I think so, yeah. The word provide comes from providence, taking care of, helping in whatever is necessary to accomplish the works of God through the works of creation. And so it's a wonderful thing, you know. Everything occurs within the providence of God. It's a little bit different than grace and all that kind of thing, because grace is God's friendship with us. It's God's very life with us. But everything, even the bad things, the things that we dislike, the things that we have big questions about, always occur within the providence of God. And I think so often about the way that nuns react to things, holy women in my history anyway. When something bad happens, they always say, well, thanks be to God, you know, because
God's
they give
will,
thanks. God's will, you know.
Right.
And that's because they have a universal appreciation of the providence of God. And I think we have lost a little of that. You know, we somehow judge God by our own standards. And we say, well, you know, I taught school for so many years, and one of the things that kids would bring up when they didn't understand things, they would say, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I'd always come back and say, well, life isn't fair. Well, there are a lot of things in our experience that don't seem to be fair on the surface. And yet all of them, even the unfair things, even the things that seem to be unjust, they're all within the providence of God. That's why we should never give up hope. Some people, when things don't go their way, the first virtue that they cast aside is the virtue of hope. And everything is within the providence of God. And so he controls. It doesn't mean that he wants everything to happen that happens. It doesn't mean that he causes things to happen in all situations. God doesn't cause evil. He's not responsible for sin. He's not responsible for the evil that we see in our world, or injustice or discrimination or war or all those awful things. Mm-hmm. But they all happen within his providence. Nothing happens outside of the loving care of the Father, even if we don't see that at the time.
How does the concept of God's providence relate to divine mercy? Are they intertwined? Is it?
Oh, sure they are. Yeah, absolutely. Because God's mercy is behind everything that happens, even the bad things that happen. It's because of God's mercy that we're even able to see the good that is present, you know. If you look hard enough at almost everything, you see that there is a goodness there. Sometimes it's very difficult to see, you know, but there is a goodness there if we look deeply and if we are willing to accept the providence of God, which is based, rooted in his mercy.
Mm-hmm. And trust.
Right.
As St. Faustina said.
I hope you see that. Sometimes the evil that we experience is so deep and so penetrating that we have a very hard time seeing any good in anything, you know, or in some of that evil. And we're not supposed to see good in evil. That's God's job, is to bring the good out of evil. And he will do it if we, you know, if we just believe in him and trust in him and take that step in faith forward. And that step in hope. That's why the virtue of hope is so important. Faith gives us the ability to believe, but hope gives us the ability to expect from God the good things that our faith has promised us. They go together. And of course, they're all bound up in charity, which is the doing of all things in love. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you mentioned, or you talked about God's divine mercy allowing us to see the good in things. So can you explain how divine mercy is manifested in our daily lives, particularly in times of uncertainty and challenges?
Sure. You want to take that?
Well, go ahead, Father. You're doing great. No. I love listening to you.
It's hard to see when you're facing evil, but God's mercy is there to precisely reassure us that he's in control. You know, it's no secret that today we're having a difficulty in recognizing God, as one who is in control. And that becomes a lack of faith that we see all around the world today. And if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in the essence of God, which is love, then it's very difficult to see the qualities of God, the first of which is his mercy. And that mercy comes to us by residing, trusting in him. You know, St. Faustina said that, you know, that trust, that God asks of us to trust. And so often, so many of us, we may not have a big problem with faith, although some do. And from faith comes hope. But a lot of us today have a big problem with trust, you know, and because we have to make a contribution there when we say we trust God. Oh, Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I adore you. I love you. All those are things on our part, asking the Lord to help us to place that ultimate trust in his divine providence.
It's hard for us to wrap our human minds around God's mercy, because unfathomable is what she said, right? Stupendous mercy. Right. We could just, as human beings, we just cannot.
That's right.
Wrap our heads
around. And we don't use it ourselves in our relationship with each other.
We don't have that ourselves.
We don't have that ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes even in our relationship with our own Father.
That's right.
we have this distorted view then of God because of our own relationship with our earthly father, right? Or biological father or whatever. So a lot of times we just have that same view of God or, that relationship is distorted or something.
I always like to remind parents that they have a grave, grave responsibility to be as much like God as they can. And, of course, they always get a little upset about that because they said, how can we be like God? Well, we're called to be like God. Mm-hmm. And but the image of God as Father depends so much on the relationship that we have with our own father and our family. And the same thing is true of mother, even though the image of God as mother is a little bit different than father. It's still those tender mercies that we see in the family unit have got to be reinforced and strengthened, because as the child grows up, the child is going to, when they start learning a little bit about the nature of God, the concepts that are qualities of God, the only thing they're going to have to relate to is just their mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so terrifically important today. Yes. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and think how hard it must be for children in families that don't have a father in the house.
Oh, terribly.
That makes it even that much harder to relate to God and to trust God and to trust in His mercy and His providence and His care for us and His providing for us.
And the whole concept of authority is damaged by the fact that you don't have a proper authority in the family as you would with a father. Then all symbols of authority, the police department and all the rest of that, they're working from behind the eight ball a little bit, you know, and trying to establish an adequate and Christian concept, Judeo-Christian concept of authority.
So can you cite some ways that you see God's providence and mercy at work in the world today, despite the presence of evil and suffering? Mm-hmm. Is that something you can quantify?
Every day God's, if you're living in God's will, right, His divine will, and you're saying yes to everything that He gives you, everything is, you know, the person you meet in the grocery store, that's, you could consider that divine providence, right? Because be one little thing that you say or do, it could be, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, even the fact that you wake up in the morning.
Right, I mean.
Is God's providence.
Right.
And you can always appreciate the fact that God is going to use you to accomplish His will.
Exactly.
And sometimes the strangest of ways.
Right.
Somebody comes to you with a problem and you have no idea at the beginning how you're going to help that person. And the words suddenly come.
Yes.
And they're not your words. Exactly. I've experienced that so many times in my priesthood. You think, how in the heck am I going to help this person? And then you just put your trust in God's providence quietly. And when they stop talking, you start talking.
Yeah.
So
that's happened to me. So
and as you well know, that's easy for me to do, to start talking. We just hope that I'm saying the right thing. So
it's kind
of. And it kind of goes with also God's timing. I mean, that's another topic.
That's right. His timing is different than yours.
It's totally different than yours. Different. I want this now, but, you know, Lord, but no.
Yeah.
It's not time, and then He'll put the people that He puts in your life. That's all just so amazing.
Uh-huh. That sometimes the answer is no is hard for people to accept.
It's not really no, it's just
not yet. Yeah.
You know,
not yet, right?
Yeah, trust me. I got this. I have the best plan for you. I'll take care of you.
God's providence is a hard concept for us to grasp and to make practical. It's very hard.
It's very hard.
You know, God's will, we can sometimes grab hold of that and say, well, I don't like it, but I'll go along with it because it's God. But His providence, asking our response to trust, we sometimes think we know a little bit more than God does in our own personal situation. And so that's hard for us to say yes to God's providence. Even though if we examine it, pray about it, live within it long enough, In the end, we say, hey, it's what was best for us from the very beginning. But we're like little children, you know. It's hard for children to trust in the providence of their own family because mom and dad don't know how bad I feel or whatever it might be. And yet, ultimately, they do, you know.
Well, it's almost like the Eucharist. It's almost like a mystery that you can't understand. At least it is for me now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe Father Mike's got a better grasp of it than I do.
No, not in the least. I think we, because there are so many questions in the world today that just need just a corresponding fiat. Let it be done. Let it be done according to your will, O Lord. And that's what the Blessed Mother did. That's why she is so revered by the Church. Aside from the fact that she's the Mother of God and personally chosen by God to be the mother of His Son and all the rest of that, but she always had explicit providence, trust in the providence of God. She never questioned Him. And look at all the opportunities in her own personal life where she would, from a human standpoint, have a right to question what was happening from the very beginning. From the very beginning. All she said was, be it done to me according to thy will.
Yes.
And according to thy will, that's absolute trust in God's providence. And that's what we need to accomplish in our own life, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Mary is one good example of providence for us to go back and look at. Does the Catholic Church teach us to trust in God's providence in any certain ways? Is there anything like in the Catechism about providence? Or
it's full of it. Yeah, it's absolutely full of all the different. I don't know if you're asking for some specific examples, but if you go through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and you see where God was asking all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, and all the people of the New Testament, God was always calling on them to trust Him. He's not giving them the full answer when He asks something from them. You know, when He asked that Abraham offer his own son.
I mean, if he had given him the answer, do you think Abraham would?
Absolutely. And yet he responded. It was an effort. You know, the Scripture doesn't try to hide the human effort that it took. You know, sponsored by God's grace too, but it still was an effort. But it was a worthwhile effort, and it showed trust in God.
And He was rewarded for that.
Right.
And there are quite a few examples in the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
You've got Noah, you've got Abraham, you've got Job that trusted in God's plan and went along with it.
Mm-hmm. And none of them were easy. None of them was easy. I don't know, I got to be careful with my English here. But none of them was easy. Each was difficult. Every time God broke into human history, He seemed to demand something from us that at first we didn't think we were capable of giving. Yet, if we put our trust in the Lord, it all worked out, even though we didn't see the big picture.
Right. So. Right.
How can understanding God's providence and mercy influence our prayer life and our relationship with God?
Well, first of all, it's a pretty good way of getting God's ear, you know, because if we, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, if we begin our prayer, whatever it may be, if it's a prayer of petition or a prayer of repentance or whatever it might be, if we acknowledge the fact that we are going to accept whatever God wants, that helps a great deal.
Yeah.
God responds to the faith of the people who are talking to Him.
Right.
And if they automatically, or not automatically, but if they come forth first and foremost with an affirmation of their faith in Him, He's going to be more inclined to answer our prayer, I think. We've all had that experience, right?
Yes.
You know? Not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultimate example of that, of course, is our Lord in the garden, you know, when He was asked to give of His own life. You know, Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
I put this in your providential care, as difficult as it seems from a human standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Divine Mercy a little bit. We're actually Divine Mercy Parish now.
That's right. It's a great name, too.
And probably not by accident.
Probably not.
No.
What role does forgiveness play in experiencing and understanding Divine Mercy? Do we have to forgive to be forgiven?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because we say that in the Our Father every time we pray the Our Father. And I wonder how many people really pay attention to that. Forgive us our sins or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so you have to be willing to forgive if you expect to be forgiven. So the Divine Mercy is a recognition of Divine Mercy, but then the assertion that we will forgive others ourselves when necessary. And it's always necessary.
Yes.
And forgiveness and being forgiven, for example, in the Sacrament of Reconciliation, that is another component of Divine Mercy that is essential. Because let's talk a little bit about confessing your sins just directly to God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Protestant denominations believe that you can just say, you know, I'm sorry for my sins, God, and be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But as Catholics, we don't believe that. As Catholics, we profess our sins.
We believe that, too.
Should we say that at Mass, too?
Yeah, that's right.
The very first thing we say is, when we say the
Confiteor. Yeah. We confess, we believe that, except it doesn't go far enough, you know. The church, Christ, in giving us the sacrament of penance, wants us to be assured 100% that our sins are truly forgiven. And so that's the reason that we go through this rite of the church, whereby we confess our sins. The Bible acknowledges from the very beginning that it's necessary to forgive our sins, it's necessary to confess our sins, even to one another, it says in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And the church, in following Jesus' example, and Jesus, when he appeared to the apostles after the resurrection, he says, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained.
Yes.
And so he's given us a very strong, hands-on experience of the mercy of God. But he's given through men. He's given through human beings that are called to be priests of the church to follow in the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Because confession isn't for the priests, and it's for us.
That's right.
We have to hear that.
Yeah.
You are forgiven.
That's right.
That God loves you and you are forgiven. It's like we can just say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry and please forgive, you know, but we're not going to hear him say, you know what I'm saying? So it's really important for us human beings to hear that.
Absolutely.
Those words.
Absolutely.
Just, there's something about hearing them that it just releases and relieves that.
Well, the priest is speaking in the name of Christ through the church.
Exactly.
And he's speaking with the authority of Christ, because Christ gave him that authority. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like putting the seal on the sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a great psychological effect.
It also gives you a grace.
Yeah, it gives you the
just
grace.
Just saying, I'm sorry, Lord, isn't going to give you.
Yeah.
So that's a sacrament. So it's going to give you that gift, that grace.
And that's one of the things when we had the big blow-up in the 16th century between Protestantism and Catholicism, it's one of the sad results of that is that in throwing out the sacramental system,
mm-hmm.
the signs that God has given us through Christ that point to the reality of what the sign signifies.
Mm-hmm.
So in baptism, water signifies the washing or the cleansing of the soul
mm-hmm.
from original sin. And it just doesn't signify it. It does it. In the sacrament of penance, the priest says, You are forgiven of your sins. And it's not just a signification, but it's a reality. It really does happen. Mm-hmm. In the Eucharist, you know, he says, this is my body, this is my blood. It's not just a symbol. He really becomes, in a special sacramental way, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And there are seven of these wondrous sacraments in the church. And they all reflect the mercy of God in one way or another.
So with the existence of free will and human choice, how do you reconcile the idea of God's providence and mercy? If we have free will to choose, mm-hmm. and we know that God doesn't just, he lets us make mistakes. He lets mm-hmm. us
yes,
run
he
away.
He loves us. We're free to, he gave us that free will, right? Because out of his love, it's great love for us.
Right, because he did,
if we didn't have free will,
we'd just be automatons.
Robots.
And, that's right. Yeah, we'd just be robots.
Yeah.
And even our free will to choose to go against God's mercy, which is a remarkable thing. Mm-hmm. Even our free will to choose to go against God's mercy is covered in the providence of God. Mm-hmm. That he loves us to the extent of sending his own son to die for our sins, even in the very act of our refusing him. That's how much he loves us. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And if we would recognize that, I think it would change our whole attitude toward God, you know,
our response
to God.
Yes.
And absolutely. How we respond to each other, you know. We haven't even begun to probe the depths of the mercy of God. And once we begin to do that, maybe we'll be a little bit merciful towards the other people.
Yes.
So it's just remarkable, like so many other mysteries that deal directly with the nature of God himself.
And the world has become so divided and so polarized
right.
that it's just a shame that we can't acknowledge God's mercy and have some for each other.
That's right.
Father Mike, can you offer any guidance for us on how we can grow in our appreciation and acceptance of God's providence and God's mercy in our lives?
I think coming back to God, I think the world today has forgotten God, and I think we have to come back to him actively in prayer. We have to ask for a deepening of our faith and an increase of hope and a greater appreciation of who God is, you know. We need to have a more active relationship with the very being of God himself and all of those qualities that are contained in the divinity. I think prayer is very, very important. A lot of people have given up on God because they've given up on prayer.
Mm.
And they no longer, they look as prayer at prayer as something to indulge in, if they indulge in it at all, as a way of getting something from God, mm-hmm. rather than as getting to know God better as a friend. And I think that if it's possible to hurt God, I think that's what hurts God more than anything else, is that we no longer approach him as Father. We no longer see him in the many gifts that he gives to us. And we use God if we even acknowledge God's presence at all. And I think we have to get back to acknowledging who God is and inviting him to be part of our life again. I think that's really, really important. And until that happens, we're going to see the problems that we have in our world today.
I think people have forgotten, though, there's one other creature that's there on the stage. We've pushed God so far off the stage, there's still somebody there.
Yeah, that's right.
Right next to you.
Yeah.
People don't realize.
That's true.
And that's who's controlling this world right
that's
now.
That's right. And that's the providence of God. You know, that's he never leaves us alone. He's always there. And I think that's really important. And that has to be done within the family unit, has mm-hmm. to be done within marriages. It has to be done in our institutions, in our society, so that we really begin to be Christians again, you know, not just members of religious groups, but just to really believe again as Christian people, as faithful Christian people in the working of God in our life, you know. I think so many people are practical atheists today. They wouldn't admit being atheists because that's kind of scary. But practically they are. God has, you know, look at how many times do we pray. You know, do we pray in the morning? Do we pray before we go to bed at night? Do we seem to only call upon the existence of God, let alone his activity, but we only call upon God when we're in trouble. And it's he has no more use than to somehow get us out of trouble. And I don't think that's very complimentary. So,
or when we need to blame bad things on
God. Oh, yeah, sure. If we're in trouble and he doesn't seem to move fast enough to get us out of trouble, it's his fault.
Yeah, and that's what the evil one wants you to think.
Yeah.
That he's not a good and loving father.
That's right.
He is, that he's a mean, vindictive.
Right, absolutely.
And not a good, merciful, loving father who loves you so much that there's nothing you can do.
Yeah,
that he has not
forgiven
you.
The Ten Commandments are a list of 10 don'ts instead of 10 do's that we should do to be closer to God.
Sure.
And
they weren't even considered commandments to the Jewish people. They were considered gifts.
Yeah.
Those laws were gifts. They were like, this is God giving us.
You know?
Absolutely.
So does God's providence extend beyond human beings? Does he cover the whole universe?
Oh,
does
sure.
he cover all of his creation?
Sure, it covers all creation. It covers the angels, it covers the saints, human beings. It covers everything that is all in his work of creating things. It's all part of the providence of God.
And that providence exists to bring us closer to God, and to God's ultimate goal is to be rejoined with us, have us rejoined with him in heaven.
Absolutely.
God's creation is an act of love, or many acts of love. And in creating things, he fills them with goodness. And we are attracted by our very nature, by the way God put us together, to goodness. Mm-hmm. And so we're attracted to these good things, and through that we are attracted to God, hopefully. Mm-hmm. The problem comes when we are so attracted to the good things that God has made that we forget the author, we forget God himself. And so the good things become more attractive to us than the author. Mm-hmm. And that can be a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like on Christmas Day, and your parents give you so many wonderful presents. You're so excited about the presents that you forget to say thank you to Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Or to Santa Claus.
I knew you'd say that. I knew you were going to get me in a hole there.
Well, maybe we could
or
say
Santa Claus.
St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas.
There you go.
I agree.
All right. Well, Father Mike, we've pretty much covered providence and divine mercy.
I hope so.
As well as we can on a radio show anyway.
Right.
So
you're dealing with mysteries here. And we always feel like we haven't really covered everything. Well, that's because it's incapable for us to cover everything, you know. But we have hit the high spots, I think.
Right. It goes back to that mystery thing.
Yes, absolutely.
That we just don't have the... Well, at least I don't have the intellectual power
to
understand it.
I don't either. Yeah.
And to process it. But then again, that's where the faith component comes in.
That's right.
And you have to be open to God's providence and to faith.
What he says.
Yeah.
What he has revealed. And
to trust
and what the church has given us and proposes, correct?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing how all of this stuff is intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about prayer a couple shows ago, and that's come up tonight, and it just keeps, everything just keeps circling around.
Absolutely.
That the Catholic Church is so... God's providence is so deep.
It just takes us deeper. It's not like going from point A to point B to point C. It's actually staying in point A and just
Getting in deeper, yeah.
Deeper and deeper, and it's inexhaustible what our faith
is. That's right.
Yeah. Just and the more you learn, the more things it opens up.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
So
absolutely. You know,
our faith is pretty incredible.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, Father Mike, would you like to take us out with a prayer here?
I will be happy to do that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've investigated tonight the mystery of your providential care for us and for all of the world. Give us a new hope in that providence and in that care. Help us to appreciate it even more deeply now that we've examined just a little of it tonight. Give us your grace, O Lord, and let us appreciate how much you love us so that we can begin to return some of that love. We ask all of this through all of the saints, but especially through that woman who was the one whom you chose to be the mother of your divine Son and who always acknowledged God's providence in her life, our Blessed Mother. We ask all of this through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father Mike.
You're welcome.
And Mandy, I'd like to thank you again for coming and sitting
thank
in with
you.
Us.
Very nice. Thank you.
It was fun again.
Yes.
I'd also like to thank our listeners for sticking around to the end of the show. Please join us again on the radio or listen on the internet at kcdmradio.org. Until then, remember, God loves you and has a plan for your life. His providence and mercy are always present in your life. As a child of God, all he wants is for you to be reunited with him for eternity in heaven. Let him in to provide for your needs. Have a blessed rest of your day. We'll talk to you again on the next episode of Father Mike at the Mic.